A number of you have told me you remember a story I told you last year about Mother Angelica's amazing faith. So after she, a nun, she starts this Catholic media network, a television network, in 1981. She felt called to expand it, and so she orders this large satellite dish without having any money to pay for it. And so when the delivery truck brings it, the guy says it costs $600,000. And so Mother Angelica says, well, just give me a minute. She goes inside. She says to God, I thought you wanted me to have it, so you have to come through. She goes outside. She says to the man, I don't have the money for it. Now, right then, another sister runs out and says, Mother, there's someone who wants to speak to you on the phone. So there's this guy, businessman, on a yacht in the Bahamas, calls her, and he says, I've been reading your book, and something just told me I've got to give you $600,000. That's a true story. Now, a lot of you remember it. Why? Okay, it's remarkable, yes, but there's something deeper there. Mother Angelica, she lived really by faith. She knows that God takes care of her. Whereas for the rest of us, we know God's there, but it's always very vague. So when you see someone who actually knows God is taking care of you, and she lives like that, you say, I want that kind of faith. Yeah, I want to be like that. The apostles have that very same desire in the gospel. It says, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. The Lord replied, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Now, the scripture scholar, Dr. John Bergsma, he says something very interesting about what Jesus responds. He says, Jesus isn't criticizing them. What is he doing? He's actually encouraging them. And this is what Dr. Bergsma says. He says, the point he is making is, you don't need much faith to be effective. Just give me a little bit of faith and I can do great things for you. Just as I took 5 loaves and 2 fish and I fed 5,000 people, I can take the mustard seed of your faith and transplant a tree into the ocean. When I was a teenager and I first heard this teaching of Jesus about faith, and St. Matthew's Gospel says if you have great faith, you can move mountains. Now, when I first heard that, I remember thinking, oh, if I just believe in God, I can actually move mountains? Now, of course, that's not what Jesus means for two reasons. One, God doesn't do magic tricks. So you ever notice in the Bible that Jesus never used his divine powers just to satisfy curiosity? Jesus only does miracles if it leads us to a greater faith. And the second reason why my teenage thought wasn't that accurate is, if you actually had such a strong faith that you could move mountains, you wouldn't move mountains. Because you wouldn't waste time on doing something so frivolous. You'd actually have faith and you'd use it to accomplish a greater good. Help people become saints. Having the faith of size of a mustard seed, it means that we believe God to be who he says he is. We believe he's our Father, and he'll always do what's good for us. Do you remember this comment in Matthew chapter 13? And Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Their unbelief inhibited Jesus from doing great works. Why? Because if you don't have any faith, miracles won't even help you believe. Last Sunday, we heard the rich man, he's suffering in Hades. He says to Abraham, then Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Abraham responds, they have Moses and the prophets, they should listen to them. If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. There are lots of rational arguments to believe in the existence of God. Arguments from philosophy, like the argument of morality, causality, contingency. Now there even astrophysics, the argument would be the argument from fine-tuning. Now some people know about these arguments for the existence of God, and they still don't believe. Why? Well, we know something about that. Sometimes we just don't want to believe. There's this resistance in all of us. And so if we don't even have any openness to God, he won't do miracles for us, because he knows it ultimately won't help us. Faith means we know God is our loving Father, and he always does what's good for us, and he will do miracles for us if it helps us get to heaven. Jesus wants this relationship with us, and what is faith? Faith is a response. Faith says, I believe you. Now remember, it's not just a merely intellectual assent that says, yeah, God exists. Yeah, there's more. It means I trust you. It means I obey you. So I want to give you some powerful examples of faith by talking about two spiritual gifts. So the first gift is intercessory prayer. About a month ago, we talked about there are 23 spiritual gifts, and we've just been going through them one by one. Right now, I want to talk to you about intercessory prayer. Matthew Kelly makes a very interesting point. He says, in all great families, there's always what he calls a giant of prayer. What's a giant of prayer? He says it's this. These prayerful giants pray constantly for their families, surrounding them with God's protection. Sometimes it is the grandmother or grandfather, the mother or father, an uncle or aunt. And from time to time, you have to go back two or three generations, sometimes more. Every family needs a cornerstone of prayer to pray for the family. So one time, Matthew Kelly goes to Los Angeles and he meets a couple. The couple has 6 children and 22 grandchildren, and all of them are practicing their Catholic faith. Now that's, of course, very unusual. So Matthew Kelly intuits right away, they must have a giant of prayer somewhere in that family. He asks them, who's your giant of prayer? And they figured out it's the great-grandfather. His name was Eddie Baranski. Eddie Baranski grew up in Chicago, was an all-city football player, led a Catholic group at university, met a girl, fell in love, and had 2 children very quickly. When he was 27 years old, during World War II, he became a secret agent for the U.S. military because he spoke German and Slovak. In 1945, he was captured by the Nazis and tortured badly for days. A German civilian named Werner Mueller translated the interrogation of prisoners for 3 months of what he called the living hell. And he remembered Eddie Baranski in particular because Eddie prayed. When the Nazis put his body in unbearable physical positions, he prayed out loud. When the torturers asked what he was saying, Mueller told them that he was praying, and they laughed at him. When they offered Eddie a cup of water to mock him, he couldn't take it because he could no longer use his arms. They eventually shot him. His wife, after years of not knowing what happened to him, when she found out the time he died, she revealed that at that very moment, when she was back in the States, she had a vision of him, whole and smiling. Eddie Baranski was a giant of prayer, and he had such strong faith that even when he was in a crisis, being tortured, he turned to God in prayer. Now, this is the amazing thing. He turns to God in prayer, but I fear that for most of us, if we were in such a crisis, we wouldn't turn to God in prayer. Why do I say that? I'm not saying it to discourage. I'm saying it to wake us up. I don't think we turn to God very frequently. You know why? Because when we're having a bad day, we don't turn to God right away. So how many of us, when someone cuts us off driving, we say, God bless you? No one does. Because our first reaction is not turn to God. Our first reaction is anger. And when our family and friends, they disappoint us, they hurt us, what do? We respond like passive aggression. So sometimes we don't have, I think, as much faith as we think we do. If we could just have just a bit of faith, the faith the size of a mustard seed, the next time we're in a moment of crisis, our first response would no longer be anger or resentment or blaming. It would be, go to Jesus. Now, our parish needs more giants of prayer. People who have that gift of intercessory prayer. Now, if you have this gift, this is what it would kind of look like. You pray for others in an intense, sustained way. You tend to see remarkable answers to your prayer on a regular basis. You have this tremendous confidence in God, and you find praying for other people, you find it energizing. In 2015, I met a 25-year-old woman. She contacts the parish. She said she's interested in becoming Catholic. And so we go out for coffee, nice chat. Don't see her again for a few years. A few years after that, she comes back, and now she's really serious about becoming Catholic. She joins faith studies, and then she goes to University of Victoria to do her master's, and she becomes Catholic there. So just, I think it was about March, I talked to her again. How are you doing? She asked me, is there anything I can pray for you? And I said, yeah, we're really struggling with hiring people. She prays, and right after that, we get the people we need. And I realized this woman is holy. She's got the gift of intercessory prayer. And now she's discerning if God wants her to be a religious, if God wants her to be a sister.